Got some things this morning that I hope will be a blessing to us and an encouragement as well. Everybody in the Gospel of John chapter 19, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to read a lengthy passage. We're going to read from 1 down to 23. We're going to read responsively, and then we'll make some application here in just a moment. Amen. So we're going to read, I'll read the odd verses, and you read the even verses with me. Here we go. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. He ought to be, amen. And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. He saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the king of the Jews, but that he said, I am the king of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every part a part, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. No matter how we look at the crucifixion of Christ, no matter what angle we view the crucifixion from, there is no easy way of bearing the sins of the world. There is no easy spin you can put to this. There is no nothing good that you can say about this other than that we get redemption out of it. But as you look at Jesus hanging on the cross, he did this all for you and I. This was a trying experience for our Lord. We understand that. He was scourged, thorns, smote. All this difficulty that he went through. And oftentimes you and I, when we go through suffering, we go through our pain, or we go through our misery. Oftentimes, the trying times, the trials, or the testings in our lives bring on the misery and the suffering. We want to run from it. We want to hide from it. We want to go ahead of God and want to get out of it. We don't want the misery and the suffering. It's easy to go into the self-preservation mode, the self-protection mode, the self-pity mode. But Jesus, however, showed us something different. Jesus, as he went through all of what we just read, went through self-sacrificing. He went into selfless service mode. I want to bring to your attention, did you ever stop to think of the ministry Jesus accomplished while he was on the cross other than redemption? The ministry that he accomplished other than redemption while hanging on the cross. Even though he was going through suffering and misery, Jesus accomplished several things that I want to bring to your attention today. Showing us that even though he was serving, he was suffering. And whilst he was suffering, he was serving. And although he went through misery, he still had time for ministry. And he had ministry, although he had misery. And today I want us to take a look at our own lives to see if maybe, just maybe, God is asking you to do the same thing. To look at your suffering and look at the service that you can do. To look at the misery that you have, but look at the ministry that you can perform in the face of it. We're going to notice four instances where Jesus ministered while on the cross, even in the midst of his misery and his suffering. And I want you to ask yourself, what ministry might God have for me through my suffering and through my ministry? I assure you, he has something that he wants you to do. Father, help us today. Lord, as I look across this auditorium, I know many of us have issues going on in our life. And Lord, they range in so many different directions. Lord, none of the misery or the suffering that we go through can be matched to what you went through on the cross. And yet and still, on the cross, in your suffering, you served. In your misery, you ministered. God, I believe it's to give us an example of what you would have us to do. We're always going to have something going on in our lives. And Lord, you want us to still minister. You want us to still serve in the midst of the suffering and the misery. And God, I pray that we might sense the degree that Christ suffered. And sense the degree of misery that he faced, but yet he took time for people. Lord, we might equate our own sufferings not to Christ, but to count them under the grace of God and recognize that we too can minister, we too can serve, despite our misery, despite our suffering. And God, may we fall on the grace that you provided for us today to do just that. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, that man, that woman, that boy or girl, reveal to them their need for Christ, their need to be born again. And for Christians, Lord, maybe decisions need to be made today. And I pray that our heart would be firmly fixed to do what you lay upon our hearts. And that you, Lord Jesus, get all the glory and the honor and the praise from what we do today. May we truly leave different than when we came in. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson's got our special today.
Times when I was impatient, when I stubborn to see that you are all I've ever needed, and that your will is best for me. I want to thank you, Savior, every day.
Thank God every day. You know, we ought to thank God every day. for what he has given us, amen, because he's given us so much. And, you know, we mentioned, you know, you could never out-thank God or out-praise God enough for what he's done for us, amen. He's done so very, very, very much, amen. Well, the subject matter today is not one that we would like to discuss, amen. We talk about the misery and the suffering that Christ went through, nor the suffering and misery that we go through either. But we've got to look at that. Before we go into the outline, you know, just think of some of the suffering and the misery that you are going through right now. And think of how debilitating it is and how stifling it is. And how it seems to take the forefront in your mind as you're going through suffering, as you're going through misery. You can't think of a whole lot of things when you're suffering and when you're going through misery other than the misery or the suffering itself. It becomes so upfront on you, especially if you're living with a chronic pain or a constant problem or something of that nature. It seems to be up in your face. We find here our Lord and Savior going through the crucifixion for you and for me. And some of the things that he went through was just unfathomable. Look at verse number one, for instance. It says in verse number one, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The scourging in and of itself, they would have this whip with bone and metal and pieces, fragments in it. And they would whip the individual and they would tear skin off of their body. There'd be a lot of blood loss there. And so just the scourging in and of itself was something that brought the victim close to death. They wanted to get as close to death as they could without killing them. And so the scourging was going on there. Come down with me to verse number three and verse two. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns. These were not ordinary rose thorns. These were thorns that were large thorns that were used for keeping sheep and hedging sheep in. So they put this on and they pushed it down, which meant that it went through his forehead and went through the scalp of his skin and probably piercing into the skull area. The thorns are there. Notice down in verse that same verse, put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him. After beating him, they put a robe on him. And you know, like I do, if blood is there, it's going to stick to that blood, and pulling it off is going to hurt. Coming down to verse number three, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote him with their hands. So then they began to beat on him or buffet him with their hands. And again, think of, I've already been scourged. I already have a crown of thorns plaited on my head. Now I'm going to get beat with the hand. And then verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And so he comes forward now, bloody, battered, beat down. And if that's not enough, verse 17 says, and he bearing his cross. And so now I've already got the beating. I've got the blood. I've got the thorns on my head. I've been just whipped almost literally to death. And now near death, I'm ordered to carry my own cross. So imagine how Jesus looks right about now. That's suffering. That's misery. The massive blood loss, the beating, the thorns on his head, whipped, the skin torn, the beard plucked, the being stripped, being fatigued, being hungry, being mocked, being scorned, being spat on, being ridiculed, not to mention hands and feet nailed to the cross, stabbed with a spear in the side, then bearing the sins of the world on top of all that. Talk about misery, and you talk about suffering. We really don't know what misery and suffering is. And even though Jesus went through this misery and this suffering, he took time to minister in the midst of his suffering and the midst of his misery. Today, your suffering or your misery may be mental suffering or maybe physical misery or maybe occupational suffering or educational misery or spiritual suffering or marital misery. It could be medical suffering or physiological or psychological. It could be relational or emotional. It could be even traumatical. But yet and still, Jesus has shown us an example that we can go through misery and still minister. We can face suffering and still serve. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, notice this, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. I want us to look at four instances where Jesus ministered while on the cross as we consider the subject, serving through suffering or ministry through misery. I want you to notice the first one is in this passage. And I want us to notice Jesus' ministry through provisions for a relative. Jesus' ministry through provisions of a relative. Notice chapter 19. Come down with me to verse number 24. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Notice this ministry through provisions for relatives. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. From that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You find Jesus here ministering through provisions for a relative. He sees his mother beaten already, a crown of thorns on his head, bloody already, having carried his cross, having had the piercings and all these other things going on in his life. But yet and still, Jesus takes a moment and looks down and beholds these ladies. And in this crowd of ladies, he spies or eyes his mom. And as he eyes and spies his mom, he says, woman, look at this man, John. John, look at this woman. You are going to take care of her from this time on. What am I saying? Even though he was misery, he was still ministering. Even though he was going through suffering, he was serving. He's looking out for her after his going to the cross and his death and his burial and then raising again and going to heaven. He's looking out for his mom, even though he's on the cross. Even though his hands are nailed. Even though his feet are nailed, even though he's being stabbed with a spear, although he's been smote upon, and you would think that he would bring the attention to himself and just solely cry out to his Father in heaven, deliver me from this hour, God. Oh, God, make it go away. But he looks at his mother, and he takes care of a relative. As Jesus went through suffering and misery, still, he was willing to serve and minister on Mary's behalf to ensure she had provisions and protection after his crucifixion. My question to you is, how might God have you respond through your suffering and misery today to show provisions for a relative? Yes, you have your misery that you're going through. Yes, you have your suffering, but God could be using this suffering for your service. He could be using this misery so that you can minister in spite of it, so they can see the grace of God in your life. Maybe there's a ministry to your mom. Maybe there's a ministry to your dad. I still recall how Rose was there for her mom repeatedly, over and over and over again. Did Rose have her own issues? Yes, she had her own issues. Did she have her own life? Yes, she did. Did she have misery and suffering? Yes, she did, but she still had service and she still had ministry to her mother. What am I saying? Oftentimes, God wants us to still serve through suffering. He wants us to still minister, even though we got misery. Maybe a mom may need your help. Maybe a dad may need your help. Maybe it's a husband or a wife or a child. Maybe it's a relative, even through suffering. Maybe you can call, maybe you can visit, maybe you can care, maybe you can support, maybe you can encourage. You say, preacher, it all seems impossible. All things are possible with God. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul said, my grace is sufficient, God told me. When I'm weak, then am I strong through Christ. See, even though Jesus is going through this misery and this suffering, he shows you and I that the provisions for a relative could be still made, although I'm suffering. And maybe today you're going through something. Maybe God is getting your attention to say, yes, I know, child, you're suffering. Yes, child, I know you're in misery. But there's someone else that you can help despite your misery, despite your suffering. And maybe they've got a real need. Maybe God wants you to help them. There's another ministry that Jesus had when he was on the cross. Not just a ministry through provisions for a relative, but notice the ministry through petitions of a robber. Go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Ministry through petitions of a robber. Luke chapter 23. Jesus took time to answer the petitions of a dying thief on the cross. Luke chapter 23, and notice with me in verse number 39. The Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly." He said, "Don't you fear God? We deserve what we're getting. We deserve our punishment. We're guilty. We're robbers, we're thieves, we're murderers, whatever we've done, we're guilty. So we deserve this. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Imagine this man in the same predicament as Jesus on the cross, looking to someone in the same predicament and saying, "Remember me. You're in the same condition I'm in. You're hanging like I'm hanging. What makes you different than me? The fact that I'm the Son of God. And the fact that I've done nothing amiss. And the fact that you recognize that. And the fact that you recognize that I can do something for you, even though we seem to be so similar. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And notice Jesus' response. Jesus' ministry through the petitions of a robber. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." I wonder what the other thief thought on the other side when Jesus said that. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. He can't even save himself. And how's he going to get you into paradise today? How's he going to do that? That's how the world normally views things. When one sinner repents and gets saved, and the other one looks at it and says, "Yeah, right, I bet you are saved. I bet you are." Yeah, you bet I am. Why? Because God is real. My God is real. And so as Jesus went through the suffering and misery, again, the crown of thorns platted upon his head, the blood stains that he has, the whipping that he took, the beating that he took, bearing the cross on the outstretched arms, the nails in his wrists and his feet, and yet still, "I've made provisions for a relative and his mom." And then he looks to this thief and said, "Today, you can be with me in paradise." What am I saying? Jesus is showing us that our ministry is not limited to just one person. We can minister to two people through our misery and through our suffering. Jesus ministered to his mom. Now he's ministering to a thief. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This thief recognized that and petitioned Jesus Christ. And although Jesus did not look like he was in any condition to help, he saw with a deeper eye. He saw with his heart and he sought help and he knew that Jesus could save him from hell. Amen. Amen. And with that heart, seeing the help and understanding hell, he called on Jesus to be saved. And Jesus said, "Today, my son, you'll be with me in paradise." You know, through your misery and through your suffering, God may have a ministry for you. "But God, I'm stretched already. You don't know all these things." Yes, I do. "But God, I can't handle anymore." You can't, but I can. Look at Jesus, the predicament that he's in. Physically, he's wounded. He's battered. He's bruised. Physically, he's incapable of anything, but spiritually, he's God Almighty. And he can do anything he wants to. And that same power rests in us. And through our misery, we can minister. And through our suffering, we can serve. Is it bad? Yes, it's bad. Is it tough? Yes, it's tough. Does God know? Yes, he knows. Does he care? Most definitely, he does care. How might God have you to respond through your suffering and misery today to show petitional prayer for a robber or someone in the wrong? You know they're in the wrong, yet they ask you to help them when they're in the wrong. What would you do? What would you do? You know they're in the wrong. You know they're not doing right. And yet and still, they ask you of something. Could you minister to them today? This thief did not deserve paradise. But wait a minute, neither do we. He didn't deserve a pardon. He didn't deserve an audience with the King of Kings. He didn't deserve any of that, but neither do we. Neither do we. But yet and still, we relish in the fact that we have it. Hey, God may have somebody that's done wrong or done you wrong who's asking you for something and you don't want to do it. He said, there's a ministry for you, son. There's a ministry for your daughter. Yes, you've got your own misery. Yes, you've got your own suffering. But did I not do it for you? If I did it for you, you can do it for somebody else. And when you do, they see the grace of God. They don't see you. How could this person do this knowing who I am? I ask myself that all the time. God, how could you save me knowing who I am? I know who I am. I wouldn't save me. I wouldn't die for me. How could you do that for me? But yet and still he did. He did. What am I saying? Jesus not only took time to minister and get provisions for a relative while suffering, he took time to minister through petitions of a robber who didn't deserve it. But neither do we. How might God have you to respond today? Someone really needs your help. You know they don't deserve it. You don't really even want to give it. They did wrong. Now, of course, this guy, he didn't do anything towards Jesus. But again, all sins are against God anyway. But he didn't do anything directly against Jesus. But he did do wrong. And perhaps somebody will come to you and say, can you help me? You say, I'm not helping you. You did wrong. Now you need to use discernment. I'm not saying you help everybody that's done wrong. Discernment is necessary. But Jesus showed us that not only could he minister to a relative and provide for them, but a robber is in need and petitions him and he ministers. I want to show you a third one in this passage as well. Ministry through the pardon of revilers. Notice, go up to verse 33 with me. Verse 33. The Bible says in 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, notice this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Notice verse 34 again. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You've got ministry through the pardon of these revilers. Jesus took time to pardon his persecutors. As Jesus went through the suffering and this misery, he was willing to serve and minister even to these reviling people on their behalf, providing them a pardon for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus provided pardon and forgiveness even before they asked. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What am I saying? He provided the pardon for these revilers before they even asked for forgiveness. It's there, waiting. They just have to access it. I wonder, of these revilers, how many actually did access it? Of these standing around the cross, I wonder how many did ask forgiveness. I'm reminded of Barabbas when they said, give us Barabbas. Did he ever thank Jesus Christ? Did he ever come back? Did he ever get saved? That we don't know. I think about this other thief that was on the other side, hearing what Jesus said, seeing all the things happen, knowing who people said he was. Did he ever get saved? We don't know. Seeing the Roman soldiers there with their spears and seeing the crowd there, I wonder how many of those Roman soldiers actually got saved. I wonder how many of the crowd ever got saved, even though salvation was provided full and free. What am I saying? The pardon for the revilers was here. And Jesus is ministering still to these who don't even want salvation. Now, even though Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do, they still needed to claim the pardon. I'll give you an illustration. A criminal can be issued a pardon for his crimes and turn it down. He will still go to the execution chair. He will still die if he refuses the pardon. Can I get an amen? So just because I got a pardon doesn't mean I got accepted. He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. It's finished. It's done. My death, my burial, my resurrection is enough to forgive them. God, forgive them for they know not what they do, but they still need to know what to do when it comes to getting saved. And that's repent of sins and come to Christ. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. What am I saying here? How about God have you to respond through your suffering and misery today to show pardon towards someone that's a reviler? They really don't like the things of God. They don't really like a lot of things. And maybe God's asking you through your misery to minister, through your suffering to serve them. Well, God, you don't understand. I could never do that. Yes, you can. Again, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But you don't know them. You don't know my God. You can do a whole lot of things once you put your mind to it and let the Lord Jesus be in control. But I don't want to do it. There's the key. I don't want to do it. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. He said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What did he do? He gave himself over to a sovereign God and said, God, my life is yours to control. Lord, do with me as you will. And friend, when we were bought at the cross, that's the same thing he's asking of us. Hey, you've been bought at the cross. Yes, you've got some misery. Yes, you've got some suffering. Hey, but I want some ministry. I want some service. And yes, you can do it. I showed you the example. I showed you through Mary. I showed you through the thief. I showed you to these revilers. Father, forgive them. It's done. It's over. You can do it. But oftentimes our misery is so up in our face. And our suffering is so up in our face. And it's real. And it is real. I don't want to minimize it. It is real. But there's a real God that shows us a real way we can get help. You might say they don't deserve it. And plus, I'm suffering anyway. So was Jesus. We didn't deserve it either. But he did. He did it for you and he did it for me. Will you forgive them? He did. Show you this fourth person here. Not just ministry through provisions for a relative through suffering and misery. And ministry through petitions of a robber through suffering and misery. And not just pardon for revilers through suffering and misery, but then ministry through perception for a ruler. Notice down here in chapter 23 of Luke. Verse number 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. After all the ministry is done, and after
Mary has been taken care of, the relative, after the robber, the thief, has been taken care of, after the revilers have all been forgiven and is taken care of, then Jesus, the sun goes down and it's dark over the earth and the veil in the temple is rent. And then Jesus says, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having thus, he gave up the ghost. Now verse 47 says, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man." Notice that. The centurion said, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. All his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Lastly, ministry through perception of a ruler. The centurion, although Jesus is going through suffering and misery, he was willing to serve and minister to this centurion on behalf of him by allowing him to perceive the grace of God through the suffering. Now, he never said a word to this centurion. This centurion is just down at the cross, manning his post, manning his position. But the centurion sees how he took care of Mary, a relative, what he said to this thief, this robber. He saw what he said to the revilers, and this thief perceived that and witnessed the grace of God. And this centurion had to come to the grips that certainly this was a righteous man. Go over to Matthew 27 and 54. Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54, we see this centurion again. Notice what it says in verse 54. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God." Truly, this was the Son of God. Now this centurion looked on Jesus with his suffering, his misery, and his willingness to serve and his willingness to minister, knowing he had done no wrong, saw the grace of God on the Son of God and said, truly, this was the Son of God. This had to be. Now, the Bible doesn't say whether he got saved or not, but the Bible says he perceived Jesus in a certain way as the Son of God. The centurion obviously saw the non-complaining spirit of Jesus Christ. He saw the care of Jesus for his mother. He saw the care of the sinners in danger on the cross. He saw the forgiving spirit of Jesus for sinners that were reviling him. He saw his sinless life, that he was not guilty. And all this through suffering, all this through ministry, misery, and all this he could have called down a legion of angels against these people. And he did none of it. Instead, he ministered. Instead, he served. Through misery and through suffering. Seeing this example of grace during his suffering and misery allowed the centurion to glorify God, acknowledge that this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. During his misery and suffering, Jesus went through it with a non-complaining spirit, but with a very compliant spirit with God. He went through it with the grace of God and not how we would normally go through it gruelingly. People saw that he was innocent and that he still ministered. I read a devotion this week, and it was called Influence During Trials. Romans 12:19, it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." It says, someone once said, long-suffering is the grace of the man who could revenge himself and does not. There will be times in each of our lives when we have the opportunity to avenge a wrong done to us, but these are the times God desires us to have long-suffering. We must be so careful how we react during these situations, because we have, notice this, an influence on many different people. Did Jesus have an influence on many different people? Mary, thief, the revilers, the centurion. It says, first of all, we have an influence on our families. Because we spend so much time with them, there will be times when we get upset or are wronged by a family member. It is during these times when we must ask the Lord for patience. We must not strike back in anger or retribution. The Holy Spirit enables us to have patience during these times. Then it goes on to say, number two, we have also an influence on the people around us. Whether we see it or not, others are watching us. At your jobs, they're watching you. In your schools, they're watching you. In the community, they watch you. Your neighbors are watching you. At the store, they're watching you. Everybody's watching you. Whether it's a neighbor, a coworker, or even someone we don't know, other people watch our reactions during difficult times. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Don't you watch other people? They don't know you're watching them. Don't you think they watch you too? And you don't even know they're watching you. Amen. The world thinks nothing of retaliating or screaming out in anger. But as Christians, God desires us to be a testimony to those around us by having patience. It's often the silent witness of a Christian living for God that has the greatest impact on the lives of others. Sometimes we can be so focused on ourselves and our own hurt that we fail to see that others are watching. Again, my misery and my suffering. But God still wants us to minister through misery. He still wants us to serve through suffering. Goes on to say we must be careful not to react in anger, but to demonstrate patience when things go wrong. How are you influencing those around you today? What are they seeing in your life through your misery and through your suffering? Ask God to help you respond correctly in difficult situations. Ask him to help you be a good influence to those around you today. My question is, how might God have us to respond today through our suffering and our misery? Are we all suffering? Yes, we are. Do we all have our misery? Yes, we do. It's in different ways and different degrees, but we all have suffering today. We all have ministry, misery today. But can others perceive the grace of God on our lives and receive the gift of eternal life because of how we experience what we're going through? No matter what you're suffering with or going through, God desires your service. No matter what your misery is today, God desires ministry through your life through the grace of God. My wife shared with me a devotion she read. It's called Your Penguin Suit. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It says, on December 29, 1987, a Soviet cosmonaut returned to the Earth after 326 days in orbit. He was in good health, which hasn't always been the case in record-breaking voyages. 5 years earlier, touching down after 211 days in space, two cosmonauts suffered from dizziness, high pulse rates, and heart palpitations. They couldn't work for a week, and after 30 days, they were still undergoing therapy for atrophied muscles and weakened hearts. At zero gravity, the muscles of the body begin to waste away because there is no resistance. To counteract this, the Soviets invented the penguin suit, a running suit laced with elastic bands. It resists every move the cosmonauts make, forcing them to exert their strength. Apparently, the regimen worked. We tend to wish for an easy life with no trials or testings. But it takes difficult times to strengthen our faith. Don't want that. Going through the daily struggles of the penguin suit saved the astronauts many weeks and months of pain later. Even so, it is through the trials of life that God perfects us and grows us so we can serve him better. Not every trial God brings into your life is punishment. Not every tough time or time of difficulty is meant as a way to chasten you. In fact, most times God uses trials to grow you or make you a better Christian. He has a plan for your life, and the plan often requires a time of refining first. Question, what is your penguin suit today? What situation do you struggle with each day? Seemingly without end. God has a purpose in it. He can use it to prepare you for greater blessings later. Same God that brought the trial into your life is able to sustain you through it. Hallelujah and amen. Don't get discouraged. Turn to God and trust him during this time. You know, my wife shared that with me. I thought, man, that goes hand in hand with my message. You know, for Christ, it was the cross. For you, it may be misery, maybe suffering. But through that, Jesus still wants us to minister and to serve. And he wants you to see that it can be done. Do you still have your misery? Yes, you do. Do you still have your suffering? Yes, you do. But you can still serve. But preacher, I don't have it in me. It's never been in you. It's always been in the grace of God. That's why Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice to take this thing away. He said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take that away. Why would I want to take something like that away? It's making you more of what you need to be. And that's me working. I'm like Paul. I'm like, Lord, take it away. I don't need this. He says, yes, you do. Okay, let me rephrase that. Lord, I don't want this. He said, I know you don't, but I do. And since you belong to me, you should want it too. And I have to grit and say, Lord, I know this is good for me like broccoli, but I still haven't acquired a taste for it. I haven't mastered, my brethren, count it all joy and you fall into divers temptations. I know it's in the Bible. I know I'm supposed to, but I haven't mastered that yet. Maybe you have. My misery comes. My suffering comes. I want to say, Lord, I don't have time to minister now. I got misery. Lord, I don't have time to serve now. I got suffering. I got no time for that. I got no time for anybody. Lord, I'm just in a way. Let me get in my corner and veg. Jesus didn't veg. Jesus had a vision. And although I'm suffering, I can serve. Although I've got misery, I can minister. And he showed us that we can do the same. Is it hard? Yes, it is. But the grace of God is sufficient. The question for us today is, will we serve through suffering? Will we minister through misery? Or are we going to just throw in the towel and say, Lord, it's too much. I can't take it. I give up. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not coming to church. I'm not praying. I'm not doing any of those things. And if I do, I'll just do the bare minimum. Lord, I can't help anybody else because I need help myself. You know, when you help others, you get help yourself. That's the principle of God. Give and it shall be given. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Judge not and ye shall not be judged. That's the principle of God. You help somebody else. Maybe it's a relative today. Maybe it's a ruler like the centurion. Maybe it's a robber. Maybe it's two revilers who don't like you. But when you help them, they see the grace of God in you. Am I saying it's easy? I'm not saying that at all. Am I saying I understand it all? I'm not saying I understand it all. I don't understand your problems. I got a hard enough time understanding my own. But I knew I got a God that does. Let's consider Jesus' ministry through misery and Jesus' service through suffering. Even though he's hanging on the cross, even though he's been beat, even though he's been battered, even though he's got the thorns, even though his hands are pierced, his feet are pierced, his side is pierced, even after he died on the cross, the centurion had to say, my perception of him has changed because of how he went through his misery and how he went through his suffering. How do people perceive you through your misery and through your suffering? Do we cry like a baby? We cry like a wounded hound dog. Nobody knows the trouble I see. God knows. And God sees. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Maybe today God would have you to make a decision to serve through suffering. Maybe today God would have you make a decision to minister through your misery. Maybe today God would ask you to let him save you. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The pardon is there, but you've not taken Jesus up on the pardon. Maybe today you take him up and say, Lord, the pardon is there. I want to ask for your forgiveness today, like the thief on the cross did. Remember me today. Let me tell you, my friend, it's going to come with your acknowledgement that you're a sinner. It's going to come with your recognition that the wages of sin is death, but, oh, friend, it's going to come at the expense that God gave his only begotten son for you because he loved you. It's going to come because you recognize Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. And you must be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, how many would say, preacher, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. If the truth be known, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've got some doubts. I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? heads are bowed and eyes are closed all across this room. You raise your hand high saying, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? I don't have a date. I don't have a time. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me." Anyone like that at all? Won't you just raise that hand up? I'll pray for you. You can put it down. Well, then by the raising of hands, then I would assume that we're all Christians. The next question would be, will you serve through your suffering? Will you minister through your misery? Would you reach out to a relative today? Would you help out a robber or someone that's in the wrong? Would you minister to someone that's a reviler today? Would you suffer in such a way where a ruler or someone else could see the grace of God on your life? Would you minister through misery and serve through suffering? Father, you know where each soul is with you today. Lord, maybe there is one that needs to be saved, but they're just too timid to raise their hand. Lord, you see their heart. You know what they need. And God, I pray by the Holy Spirit's power, you would beckon them to come to you, that you might save them. Then, Lord, maybe there are those that have been saved and never been scripturally baptized. They need to come forward for baptism. Then maybe there are those that have been scripturally saved and scripturally baptized, and they need to come forward and join this church. And they can talk to us about what it takes to join this church. But then, Lord, maybe you're going to ask a Christian to minister through misery today or serve through suffering today. And maybe it's to a relative. Maybe it's to a ruler. Maybe it's to a robber. Maybe it's to a reviler, someone that they'd rather not do it for. Lord, help us to come into the realization you didn't have to do it for us, but you did. And help us to find the grace of God to do whatever it is you ask us to do through our suffering and through our misery, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Wilbur's going to sing an invitation. If God's spoken in your heart, don't wait for someone else. You move. Don't wait. Maybe there's something that God would have you to do. Music is playing. You step out and say, "There's a ministry that God has for me through my misery. There's some service through my suffering that Jesus would have me to do. And Jesus has shown me the example. I'm going to do it." Maybe it's to a relative. Maybe it's to a robber. Maybe it's to a reviler. Maybe it's towards a ruler. Maybe it's someone on my job. Maybe it's someone in my family. Whatever it is that you need to do, would you move? Jesus showed that we can serve while suffering. We can minister through misery. Is it easy? No, but by the grace of God, we can. Maybe today you say, "Preacher, I think, you know, I've been born again and I think I need to get baptized." And maybe you need to come forward for baptism. Maybe you've been saved and scripturally baptized. You say, "Preacher, I like this church. I need to find out what it takes to do to join this church." Maybe you need to come forward and let us know you want to join this church. Or maybe you need to just pray for a loved one, pray for a relative. Whatever it is that God has laid upon your heart, would you come? Would you come? Just as I am.
Riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I
ministry through misery. Lamb of God, I come. I come. Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for the example that Jesus Christ left us on the cross. The Bible is clear, even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. You should follow his steps. God, help us through misery to minister, through suffering to serve. And help us to do it for the grace of God, that others may see and know that the grace of God is on our lives. Thank you for ministering to us today, Lord. Be with that one that did not make a decision today, but knows they need to make a decision. And when they're asked to minister through misery, maybe it's to a relative, to a ruler, to a reviler, to a robber, Lord, I pray they would do it, knowing what you did for them. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got two individuals. Linda has come, and Pastor White has had an opportunity to talk to her, and she's been scripturally saved and scripturally baptized, and so we're going to receive her into the fellowship. Amen. All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Also.